Welcome to the Courageous Recovery Broadcast. I'm your host, Randy Mortensen. This is a weekly 25 to 30 minute program where we provide answers for your I don't know how. Whether you're dealing with a loss, or maybe you've got recovery issues that you're struggling with, or maybe life has just thrown you one more curveball than you were expecting, I'm so glad to have you here. And today you're going to be blown away by just the passion and the quality of life that my guest Jules is going to share more about her wisdom and just the pathway that she's been down. So it's always good to see that we do have people joining us from coast to coast here in North America and 24, 25 countries around the world. Depending on how you're watching or listening to this, you should see a subscribe button, or maybe you'll see a chat box or comments. Please, please, please subscribe or go ahead and leave us comments, because we hugely value those. And then I also want to remind you that if you're interested in more of the work that I'm currently doing, you can go to my website, which is randymortensen.com. That's Randy, last name Mortensen, M-O-R-T-E-N-S-E-N. Later in the show, we'll talk about the Lifestyle Champion cohort, and you can find a survey on the front page. But enough words out of my mouth. We need to get to the wisdom of my guest, Jules. So welcome, Jules, all the way from the great state of Texas.
Yes. Hello. Thank you. I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah. It's good to have you. So here's my usual first question. I already told you what I was going to ask. Anybody just listen to it, they know. What is there that you know today that you wish your 22-year-old self would have known?
That I'm more powerful than I even imagined.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
Say that again. I love it. Nobody's ever given me that good of an answer.
That I am more powerful than I ever imagined.
Wow. I am more powerful than I ever imagined. That's coming from the woman who I took this off your website. I'm a woman who has lived two lives in one lifetime. The first part was a life of childhood abuse and trauma, which grew into the full-blown disease of alcoholism. My life was out of control and I was circling the drain. But the second part is life today and how I urgently worked through my past and now have a wonderful life as a result. But my story is not your average girl gets sober story. Amen to that. So where do you want to start? Where's the best place to kind of bring people in on your journey?
You know what? Let's do a little screenshot of the beginning.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
You know, I was born and raised in the Midwest. It was in the 70s, and the 70s, women did not have a lot of resources. I think it just got to the point where women could have property in their name, if that surprises me to even think. So it's in the era where my mom does not have a lot of resources. You know, my father is struggling with a small business, which isn't being very successful. And he is an alcoholic. And so there's a lot of turmoil. And one of the nights he came home from his, you know, in a drunken stupor, whatever was going on, the best decision he could make at that time, he felt, was a family suicide. And I was six. This was late at night. I'm in bed, you know. My mom and my dad are in the kitchen, and apparently he's, you know, writing this note. I mean, this is really going to happen. And so, because my relationship with my dad was so amazing, I think I adored my daddy. So when he would come back and say his goodbyes to me, I didn't really know what it meant. I just loved him. So you're going to come and give me a hug. Absolutely. In the middle of the night. I mean, I'm going to accept it. I love this guy. And so, but little did I know really what was happening. And so, long story short, my mom, every time he went back to say those goodbyes, would take the gun off the kitchen table and throw it over the porch. Wow. Throw it over the porch. Now, in the Midwest, hunting is very common. And so my dad had many guns and rifles. It's part of the environment there. And so my mom continued to do this. And I think she was about 29 years old as a single or as a mother with me. And so, you know, some phone calls were made, somebody came out, gave my mom the window, and we ran, we ran. And so, you know, fast forward only 6 months, you know, again, this has, makes me realize or think that it had to be for financial stability, because within a 6 month window of the divorce, she had remarried. And we remarried into a very large family. I'm now one of six kids. I have no idea where my dad is. There's this really grotesque, very large, loud man who's now my father figure. And my mom has just really shifted. She's not that loving mom anymore. I have to think she went into the survival mode. And so we actually lived in a trailer. And so the way it was laid out is my mom and dad lived in the front part and we lived in the back, the kids did. And so now it's on a physical level that we were also separated. The abuse started to happen with my older stepbrother. This continued on for about a 3-year window until we then relocated to another state. And ultimately he stayed behind. Of course, I was very excited to see him go. I didn't have to deal with him. But the abuse, it was so incestuous that it never left me. And so we moved on then down to California. And I went to a camp. It was fantastic. Little did I know, because again, we're pretty blue collared folks. You know, there's a lot of mouths to feed. And I was sponsored to go to a YMCA camp in Santa Cruz. I mean, it was just decadent. And so I went, and it was the first time amongst other girls my age that I was a part of. I get to talk, we are laughing. It was just like this huge exhale. And little did I know, there's certain parts that you shouldn't share, I thought. I didn't know this. And so I just told everything because it was a safe place. And ultimately the counselor then was, you know, required by law to report that. And so at that point I was taken out of my home, out of my family's home. And I actually stayed with her, which was kind of nice because I really liked her. She was a wonderful mom to her children. But she was also going through a divorce herself. And so she was in that wild times. Wow. So there was men and there's drinking and there's drugs. And I know everything to do in this environment. I know exactly what I do in this environment.
And so, you were how old then? Jules, you were how old?
Ooh, let's see. So I was probably like, 12?
Oh, 11, yeah. Okay. 12. Okay.
Yeah. And so, and then, you know, this comes out, the divorce proceedings begin. We all go back to the Midwest again. And now I'm just about to start high school, right? And so if you think I've been in Southern California with these life skills of abuse and trauma and rage and, you know, defenses. And so you move this back to a very small town in Wisconsin. They don't even know what to do with me. I'm sure I'm out of control. And so I went in one time to the counselor's office and, you know, you do these reviews and he says, you know, I just don't think you're going to be very successful here. And he said, you know, there's other ways to get your diploma. And like I've mentioned before, that green light was so green. I couldn't even tell you what we said after that. I had gotten the get out of jail free ticket. And
but just imagine though, what was that guy thinking, right? How could he have possibly thought there would be anything constructive that would come out of saying something like that to you? It's the second time you've shared that with me, and it's just mind boggling to me.
You know, on so many levels, like that was his profession.
Right.
To protect and better guide the children.
Yeah. But yet you were strong enough that you said, okay, I'll show you. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because, you know, at that age, if you remember when you were a kid, I mean, there were so many restrictions on you. And, you know, my restrictions were also very toxic restrictions. And so somebody giving me the green light from outside my family, absolutely, I am out of here. And so that's how I plunged into adulthood. I was 14 years old. And my mom pretty much said, you know, I, you, you can't live here anymore. You either have to, you know, go into a foster home system or move back in with your stepfather.
Wow. Well,
I wasn't, you know, not going to go in the system. So ultimately I moved back in with my abuser and I got a job at an A&W and thought to myself, I'm making enough. I can do this on my own. I definitely don't need him. And so I moved in with one of my friends and that's how it went for 19 years.
So you, And then you moved around quite a bit, even in those 17, 18, 19 years, right?
You know, I looked at my taxes in the last 3 years and I had moved 13 times. Oh, that's once every 12 weeks. So that tells you the cycle of my relationships, because it would be like all that. And then within that 12 week window, I was sabotaging it and I was on to the next one. And, you know, it's not like I that freedom I spoke of, it wasn't like I wanted to get out and party and it was not glamorous. I wanted nothing more than to get an education and get my feet underneath me. I don't want to depend on anybody. You know, because I've been doing this chameleon thing and it's just nauseating to be somebody that you're not authentically being, you know? And so I have 7 transcripts. I mean, one thing I can tell you is I am persistent and extremely resilient because there was nothing, nobody was going to hold me down. Absolutely nothing. And so looking back now, I think maybe that was my ego, right? My ego saying, girl, get up. Let's keep going, you know, and, you know, further on, you know, we're hearing that the ego isn't so grand. And now I don't ever want to kill my ego. My ego, she's the reason I sit here today.
Right.
She's the reason I survived. So I really have unlearned a lot of things. So
well, and it's the resiliency. It's the resiliency that's very obvious in your story. And and so what I like to do, I know there's a 17-year-old girl, young lady, somewhere listening to this. What would you say to encourage that 17-year-old that's just family's not working, you know, support system's not there? What would you say to that 17-year-old to encourage her?
That all the feelings she's feeling, the rage, the anger, it's all normal. There's nothing wrong with you. You don't need to settle down. You don't need to worry about overreacting. These are the things that we're told in these toxic families, which then makes me even question my own self. So yeah, it's that's all normal.
Well, and particularly coming out of, you know, these last couple of years where youth or adults haven't had the opportunity to really be out in community. They were more or less isolated. I think we're seeing even more stress on the teens and the early 20s because they just haven't, they've been disconnected the last 2 years.
Yes.
Right. So who is there to encourage them? Probably nobody.
No, but you know, we do have social media. We do have online resources. So, you know, we do know that there's the negative and the positive to everything, but there's some amazing resources, you know, meetings for AA. You can get them anywhere and you can go in meetings around the world. You could have a meeting in England sitting in Texas, you know? So there's a lot of resources that we didn't have growing up.
No question. No question there. Well, one of the resources that I want to talk about is you have an awesome book titled The Making of a Woman from the Inside Out is the byline. So what was the motivation for the book, Jules?
You know, all along, you tell normal people a story like mine, and the first comment is, girl, you need to write a book. So I think it has always been implanted. But then as I went further along, I realized the communication that I'm able to have with folks, kind of like that 17-year-old we just talked of, I have the words. And it was almost like the cure for cancer. I can't hold this. I've got a really big solution and I need to share it. And so I put it into prayer. I meditated on it. And within a 6-month window, January to June, Marlene and I put this together. And that's what we did during COVID. I wrote a book.
In 6 months, you put it all together?
We did.
Oh, my gosh.
I had no distractions. I couldn't leave.
Well done. Yeah. My gosh.
Yeah. But you know how it is. If you're in line with Source, it happens. It goes very fluidly, very effortlessly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and so the website is themakingofawoman.com. You're on a couple of other platforms. You're on Facebook and Instagram also. Any other way that if somebody's just really wanting to talk to Jules, any other way that you would suggest they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Again, one of the beautiful things about the internet, we have social media. Anywhere in social media, I'm the one who's answering any of the DMs. If there's something a little bit more, like you want to spend some one-on-one time with me, what I'm doing right now is I'm just having people contact me through the website under the contact tab. And just in there, just say, you know, fill it out. Let me know what you want to talk about, and we'll find a time and we'll do a Zoom call.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. And to the listeners or the viewers, all of these links will be in the show notes. And if you're struggling to get a hold of Jules, you can always call my office, which is 321-757-HOPE. That's 321-757-HOPE. And I will absolutely want to connect you with Jules and go to every effort to make that happen. Jules, is there anywhere else other than the website to buy your book?
Of course, Amazon.
Okay. Okay. I figured that, but I hadn't asked that before.
Yes. Yes. Okay. You know, it's on all the platforms like Barnes and Nobles and some various other ones. But if you even Google it, it will come up and give you different options. But
so Google The Making of a Woman and you'll find it there. So in addition to making sure that you purchase her book, I'd also like to let you know that I am starting another 8-week program, the Lifestyle Champion Cohort, starting here in a few weeks, where we use Zoom technology for the 90-minute weekly meetings. And the first 30 minutes are teaching. The three phases of the teaching are evaluate. In other words, where am I today? And the second phase is equip. What tools or what skill sets have the rest of us, like Jules and I, experienced that have worked for us? And then once you've figured out how to experience that life change, then it's really important that you then learn how to enjoy life, the new you. And if you are interested in information, I gave you my office number, the website. The easier way is to just text CHAMPION to 66866. That's CHAMPION to 66866. And we will reach out to you and give you more information on that. So, Jules, you're now in Dallas. And what have you observed over the last couple of years just in your networks of ladies that are just struggling or just guys that are battling? What are you seeing different today than maybe 3 years ago? What comes to mind?
You know, I think COVID really put us in a state of isolation. And by doing that, it means we have no distractions. And a lot of people live amongst the distractions of life. So when you remove those, all you have is you. And most of the time, then you have a spouse or kids in that small space as well. So there's been a lot of, I think, rage that's come up. I think there's a lot of stuff coming up that we cannot put the Band-Aid on, like drinking or going shopping or fill in the blank, right? So I'm seeing more and more where people are, they almost have to go deeper. They have to go deeper. You have to go deeper than the medication and deeper than the meetings. And you have to go deep because that's really where the changes have to take place. Because that's the reason why I drank. That's the reason. It's all the stuff I carried around with me that I was constantly trying to push down. So it's an exciting time, but it's also, you know, just like anything, it has to come to the light in order to be healed. And so Source is like, all right, well, we're going to take this opportunity to go a little bit deeper. So it's a rocky road, but it, like you said, the enjoy part, it's a totally different world afterwards.
Yeah. Enjoy and thrive sure. Okay. So it's hard to believe we're running out of time, but we are, but I don't want to forget to bring this up. So You're not only passionate, you're an award-winning author, you're a speaker, you're also a bodybuilder.
Yes.
So I need, when we meet, I need to make sure not to say anything stupid to you because you could hurt me, right?
I'm not violent. These muscles are to look at. But they are intimidating, so they do serve a purpose.
Bodybuilding. When did you start that?
Gosh. You know, I turned 40. I turned 40 years old, and I was like, honestly, as silly as it's going to sound, I just wanted to get the cellulite off my thighs. I just hated my thighs. And so I thought, well, as I've learned, I go where somebody has already done something. Like, I want what you have. And so, well, where do I go? I go to a bodybuilding gym.
Oh, my gosh.
So I signed up with this, you know, amazing IFBB pro, and she takes me through for the first year, like the meal plan and everything, and teaches me that I actually have to build muscle in order to tone it. And so this whole process is taking place, having no idea where it's going to end up. This is usually how my path goes, by the way. Like, sources like, just focus on the laser dot. I was like, okay, like the cat and the dot, right? And the whole everything else, it kind of keeps me occupied, I guess. And
wow.
So, you know, fast forward, you know, I end up taking third place on one of my shows, my first one. And there's only three people, so let's not get too excited. But man, that was my trophy. And then last year, I made it to nationals.
Way to
and
go.
I placed in the top three in nationals,
oh
which
my
is
gosh.
Canada, United States, and Mexico. This year, I'm going to be 50. I am going to go back and take that first place. I have to. It's going to be empty anyway, is what I'm thinking.
Way to go. So you're not only going to celebrate that more international or national championship, but you just celebrated 15 years of sobriety too. So kudos to you. Kudos. For that. So let's just wrap up. I'll ask you for a closing comment here in a minute. But ladies and gentlemen, the overdose rates have just skyrocketed during this pandemic. And we're seeing more than 150 people dying a day in the United States from overdoses. It's costing our economy more than $800 billion annually. So if you know someone who's struggling today, maybe you're that person who's battling a compulsive and destructive behavior, please don't wait another day to seek help. Jules and I can both tell you about that day when we each had an aha moment. But as I shared before, you can reach out to me at my office number 321-757-HOPE, 321-757-HOPE, or call someone you know and trust, because those who are dying are husbands, wives, sons, and daughters of someone who loves them. Today's the day. Again, for more information about my programs, you can text CHAMPION to 66866. I do hope you found this information helpful today. Jules has been just a brilliant guest. Look for the replay to be available on the usual online podcast outlets, Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many, many more, as well as the Facebook page. So Jules, in closing, what would you like to say to our listeners, to that female that's thinking, I'm not worth it, you know, this battle's too much. What would you say to that lady that's feeling encouraged, but just not quite there yet?
Like we mentioned, shame is such a big deal. It's a big, big driver. And what I now see looking back is that I was exactly where I was supposed to be, doing exactly what I was doing. It just continue, keep moving forward. It's part of the big picture. Because everything that I was shamed about are now all of my gems. Everything that was a negative in some way has turned into a positive. So keep going.
Keep going. Don't
keep
quit.
Going.
Don't quit. Okay, brilliant words. Okay, guys and gals, have a blessed day and be extraordinary today.